welcome.
Bum, 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 bum.
Woo!
Claremont College's
Seven Things. Hello and welcome back to Seven Things, where we discuss what's important to the Claremont Colleges in seven subject areas. Let's go ahead and get started with Itai in politics and policy. So Itai, this was election night. This is when we're recording this. The Democrats have a majority in the House and the Republicans have a majority in the Senate. What do these results mean moving forward?
Yeah, Emily, when we're looking at the House, Nancy Pelosi has come out and said that the Democrats are going to be focusing much of their efforts on healthcare reform, noting that the coverage of pre-existing conditions was one of the hot-button issues that eventually propelled Democrats to victory in the House race. The Republican win in the Senate, on the other hand, means that Democrats have less power in determining Trump's judicial nominees and other appointments, which ranges from everything from the Supreme Court to federal courts. Also, talks of impeachment are a lot less likely due to the fact that a supermajority in the Senate is necessary to vote a president out of office.
And this week we're doing things a little differently. We have Blake on our STEM section.
STEM and arts and humanities. Dr. Rita Charron, creator of the Narrative Medicine Department at Columbia University, is leading a charge toward integrating the humanities and the sciences to bring empathy, listening, and noticing into the medical practice.
Dr. Charron noted that we're honoring the stories of illness. What does this mean?
Narrative medicine is about illuminating the physician's relationship with self, with patient, colleagues, and society. It's about cultivating respectful, empathetic, and nourishing medical care. Charron argues that study and practice of the humanities is the best way to enable doctors to see the complex human suffering and joy that surrounds them. It takes close looking and noticing. It takes paying attention to our own emotional responses, noticing what associations we have to what we are looking at, wondering about the possible contradictory meanings, surrendering ourselves to the experience of beholding what is really before our eyes. Narrative medicine is emerging as an effort to rehumanize medicine, and it's growing very fast across the nation, and it's growing internationally as well.
And now, onto the arts and humanities with Anu Ragini. She's going to tell us a little more about Diwali.
On Wednesday, November 7th, many Hindus around the world celebrated Diwali, often referred to as the Festival of Lights.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the celebration of this big holiday?
Diwali celebrates the victory of good over evil, and often people pray and light lamps to decorate their houses. They wear new clothes, eat lots of sweets, and play music.
And firecrackers?
Everyone enjoys the excessive firecrackers. Families create rangoli, a type of floor art made with colored powder near the thresholds of their houses.
Are there any Diwali celebrations coming up in the Claremont community?
On Friday, November 16th, the Claremont College's Hindu Society and Claremont College's Buddhism are hosting Diwali at the Claremont Colleges from 5 to 8 p.m. in the McKenna Auditorium, so make sure you drop by.
And now, on to sports with Noah.
Over the past three seasons, the Pomona-Pitzer men's water polo team has lost only one game to a conference opponent, a 7-6 overtime loss in September of 2017. The Sage Hens are currently riding a 26-game win streak against the rest of the Skyac, and are 12-0 in the conference this season.
It sounds like another dynasty at the five C's. What's this team's key to success?
So this team's secret has not been a new coach or a new strategy. Instead, their key to success has been Adam Gross. The Pomona senior's tenure has coincided with the team's incredible three-year run. After earning SCIAC Newcomer of the Year honors as a freshman, Gross has appeared on the first team All-SCIAC the past two seasons and likely will again this year.
So at 12-0, where are the Sage Hens headed?
Their final game of the regular season is this Saturday against rival CMS.
Woo!
The Stags are second in the SCIAC, and the game could be a preview of the conference championship, set to take place November 18th.
And now, on to health and wellness. Sadly, Caroline couldn't be with us this week since she is out with what I hope is not the flu. But speaking of the flu, the traveling flu clinic may be over, but the flu season is not. You can still get your flu vaccinations at Student Health Services. And for those of you who have the student health insurance, flu vaccinations are covered. And for those of you with other forms of insurance, usually the cost is $10, which, again, depending on your insurance, can be reimbursed to you. So if one wanted to make an appointment to get a vaccination, they could call Student Health Services at 909-621-8222. That's 909-621-8222. Don't get the flu, y'all. And now, on to Student Voice with Ruji. This week, she explored Subtle Asian Treats, a Facebook meme group that has grown to more than 400,000 members since mid-September.
Yeah, Emily. I was added to the group by a friend I made in college, but it's been interesting to see my Asian American friends from childhood post and react to memes on the group. This week, I interviewed students at the Claremont Colleges on their personal experience with the meme page. Valerie, a Pomona Class of 2020 student, said, quote, "I really laugh at 3 a.m. more than at any other meme page," end quote. She definitely feels more connected to other Asian Americans since she feels like Asian Americans are not really fully Asian, but through the meme page, they're able to share things about living in the liminal space of Asian Americanness. However, some students note that the group is potentially problematic in its huge East Asian membership, and therefore other Asian voices might be less heard.
This week for People of Claremont, I sat down with Andrew Nui, a senior in Asian Studies at Pomona College. Sorry to all you coffee lovers, but it's time to talk about tea.
So I guess we'll just jump into it. Do you like coffee more or do you like tea more?
So I personally, Andrew, am definitely more of a tea person. Have been since the day I was born and will be until the day I die.
Wow, you're just swimming in tea. Okay. Can I ask what your favorite tea is? Do you have one? Or Ooh. Is it just so many that you can't pick your own favorite?
I will say I'm a pretty big tea fanatic. I will say one of my staples is green tea with jasmine. I love green tea. I love the caffeine aspect of it. But it's also got all these nice, good nutrients for you too, so it's a much more natural way to perk yourself up than coffee, I think.
Yeah, and I feel like tea brings the coffee and the attention that caffeine gets, but not the jitteriness that I tend to get with coffee, especially if I drink like an espresso or something, I'll be trembling for the next few hours.
This is actually a really good question, Andrew. It's pretty thought-provoking. What, do you have any kind of hesitations with coffee besides the jitteriness?
No, I actually used to work as a barista when I was in high school, so I made coffee for a lot of people. And despite making so much coffee, I never enjoyed drinking it myself. I was always more of a tea person. And now that I'm a senior at Pomona, I'm an Asian studies major focusing on East Asian history, so my thesis is on the origins of tea. So it's a pretty cool topic.
Oh, that's awesome. What have you discovered so far in some of your research?
Well, I don't know whether or not this is surprising to people, but I guess we'll find out. If I were to ask you when you think tea, in the version that we're enjoying it right now, taking leaves and putting it into hot water and drinking that sort of brew, when do you think that came about? How long ago do you think that came about?
It's a few thousand years BC, I would definitely have to say.
So already my research is going to be really interesting to you because loose leaf tea in the way that we enjoy it now, especially jasmine flavored green tea, comes around the year 1500.
No way, seriously?
It's really modern.
What?
But of course when people, okay, so here's the thing, and the sort of disingenuous thing about tea is that it's marketed as being so ancient, but in reality, it's about the same age as Shakespeare.
You did not, okay, so when you say that it's modern, where did it start then? What is the origin of tea?
Originate in a very different form all the way back in like, what, maybe 2000 BC, 1000 BC, somewhere around there. Really, really old drink, yes, but at that time people essentially just plucked leaves off of the tree and dumped it into hot water.
Oh, so that's what I'm thinking of. I think of that as tea.
But you don't drink fresh leaves, you drink dried leaves.
Oh, so you're, yes. Okay, there's a distinction, okay.
The other thing is that it's not just leaves and hot water. Back then they would add spices to it, they would add salt and rice and I guess wheat and grain and things like that, and it ends up becoming more of a meal?
Oh.
It's like a medicinal thing. You wouldn't drink it for fun, you would drink it because you're sick.
My name is Emily Pugh. Thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning back in again next week on Seven Things.
Claremont College's
Seven Things.